The 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
The Huskies got a 2-1. Bring it up across the line. Ian Smith looking in front. Sasha just scores! You see it! Put it in!
I am a Uper.
They'll flip it up for Reitmeier. He holds it in. Here comes Grayson Reitmeier. He'll shoot! Scores!
I love UP.
Oh, what a play by Michigan Tech!
And my heart is hit.
Save it for Misiak. Misiak, wraparound attempt. Breaks to the front of the goal. It's behind him! Scores! Hit the net!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turbo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thank you very much. And yes, the Joe Schott Hour is here. The Huskies coming off a sweep at Ferris State University this past Friday and Saturday in Big Rapids. And good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning, Dirk.
Nice to see you. And congratulations on the two wins over the weekend.
Yeah, congratulations to you. It was a lot of fun. I thought the guys played hard as the games went on, and it made us better for sure. It was an enjoyable weekend. I enjoyed watching those games.
I did too. And even though there wasn't a whole lot of scoring in them, at least especially on Saturday night, they were a lot of end-to-end action, good opportunities, great goaltending, I thought, on both sides all weekend long. And I think everybody that was there, including a large amount of Michigan Tech fans, again, really enjoyed the competition.
Yeah, that was probably the biggest surprise for me. We've gone in there, and it's been a pretty hostile environment the last several years with their, I think they call it the dog pound behind the net and things like that. I don't think they're on break, but there was our crowd, and that's just incredible. I met a lot of people, a lot of Tech fans, a lot of Tech alumni, and I always enjoy doing that. I like going down and talking to them after the game and meeting people.
You mentioned just now, Coach, and you mentioned throughout the weekend that you feel we learned a lot by playing those two games in that building, especially maybe for some of the younger guys. In what ways?
Well, it's a small rink, and there's really no room to hide, no room to pretend. If you're going to play a perimeter style of game, you're not going to have success, and the ice is going to get tilted because, you know, they're built for that rink. They chase hard. They're catching you from behind. We had some players on Friday night that are normally impact players for us that weren't able to perform that well because of that. Not that they weren't playing well. It's just the game was too fast, and they had to adjust their speed and try not to make time and, you know, try not to slow the game down to make time and space, but in fact speed the game up to make time and space and create your separation that way. So I think it made us a lot better in that regard. We had a lot of guys play well, a lot of guys adjust. I'm sure a lot of guys gained confidence, and hopefully it'll pay big dividends going forward.
Different games in that we did not have great starts like we have been having, but still third periods were our best periods.
Yeah, again, I think a lot of that is, first of all, I credit Ferris. They're playing desperate. They're battling for playoff position. So they needed the wins. They know they have limited games at home remaining, and that's where they play best. So I give them a lot of credit. They came out with pushes. Even at the beginning of most periods, they came out with a good push, and we had to weather that and get ourselves going. It was a constant adjustment, getting ourselves going each period and taking it over, with the exception really of the second period on Saturday night. I thought right from the start of that period, which was good, in a 0-0 tie, that we came out and had pretty good control. We only gave up one chance in that second period. We only marked one chance. Normally we mark everything that's even considerably close so we can make decisions on it later. So it was a good effort in that regard in that period. But, again, a lot of guys had to learn, and some guys kind of dwindled back a little bit. We had to, in our limited ice time and things like that, to go with the guys that were most competitive, most impactful on the games. And, you know, that's the decisions you have to make, and I think it paid off.
Much has been talked about the size of that rink. We did learn that it is about almost 12 feet shorter
from what they report.
So it's obviously NHL is 200 feet long. It's about 100, just shy of 188, or just over 188 feet long. Yeah. And the width is almost perfect,
yeah.
But it is a perception too, and the stands being right there, the bleachers being right there, it does appear like the whole rink is even smaller than it is.
Yeah, the other side of it too is there's distance lost in the corners because it's kind of egg shaped.
Yeah.
It's a kind of egg shaped rink, so everything kind of tapers in towards the goals a little bigger. They don't have the deep corners, you know, the boards don't extend down as far and go deep into the corner and round off. The radius on the boards are a little different, so it's a smaller rink. There's no question about it. Everything happens happens quick, and it's a different game enough that they put their team together for that rink to build around that rink. And you can see why a guy like Kunitz, who's won 4 Stanley Cups, an alumni from that program, old CCHA MVP and leading scorer and All-American, and led them to a championship game in the national tournament back in, I don't know, 2011, 2012, yep, whatever it was, probably a little bit before that.
No, that was right.
Yeah, so you can see why he was so good in that rink, because as soon as you get that puck, if you're attacking and you have any players you're playing with and you have some skill, you're gonna put up points in that rink and you're gonna dominate in that rink, which they did. I remember playing against him; it was a lot of fun. And so you can see it's built for that. They can get away with a little bit of more size, a little less skating, because it's a little less important in that rink. What's really important is winning battles, being able to make plays in critical ice and small areas between the dots. If you're trying to slow the game down, the game's going to pass you by and you're going to be non-impactive.
Keegan Ford got the scoring started on the Friday night after a scoreless first period. We talked to Keegan before Friday night's game, and then, of course, after Friday night's game. And before Friday night's game, we were just casually talking, and he said it's starting to sink in for him that, you know, it's getting close to the end of his collegiate career. And he goes out and scores the first goal of the game. It took in the second period, but he got it.
List trying to win the draw here. Good job. He had a battle for that one, but he got it. Huskies with the power play, trying to break the scoreless tie here. Ford up top now for Spoyer. Back for Ford. Ford will shoot. Scores! Keegan Ford! Hit something on the way in, but Ford, I think, is going to get credit for it. And the Huskies break the scoreless tie, 1-0.
Not a hard shot, but got it through.
Yeah, it's that new power play that we put together. They did a pretty good job for us, didn't give up scoring chances against, and created scoring chances for us. So limited power plays, as always, on the weekend, but I thought they did a good job for us. It's nice to see D shooting. Our next guest here was part of that as well, with 2 goals. So we had 3 goals of our 5 on the weekend were from defensemen, and that's a great sign going forward that they're getting pucks to the net, they're shooting a little bit more.
Dave in the broadcast remarked that not very often you see all 3 helpers, or all 3 people registering a point on the goal, defenseman. Keegan Ford getting his 2nd of the season. Colin Swoyer, his 13th assist. And then Brendan Dainema got his first assist on that goal. All 3 defensemen, pretty cool.
Yeah, it is good. And, you know, they've got talent for sure. We just got to make sure that they play that way, play assertive, and use their skills in a positive way. And I thought we got quite a bit of that. Now the biggest thing we have to just make sure is we're defending the rush a little bit better.
Yeah, but the Huskies take that lead after a long time scoreless, and then they give it right back as Ferris State scores a minute 24 after.
Huskies can't get there in time. It's deep inside the Michigan Tech zone. 1-0 Huskies here in the second period, 6:20 remaining. Back to the point. Shot. Scores! Quick shot from the point by Fedoric. And he beat Jerusik. And it's a 1-1 score.
I wasn't sure if that had been redirected at all, but I guess on the replay it didn't look like it was.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened on that goal. The disappointing part in a focal point going into Saturday was those quick goals. We've given up a few of those lately. Right after we score, right after we get momentum, we give up a goal, and this was shortly a minute or so after we scored that they came back down and scored. I believe they did it again later in the game when we went up. Maybe they didn't, because we went up, I think, 3-1, then they made it 3-2. But it'd been, in the last few games, we've given up a few of those. So Saturday, I know that I was cognizant of, as to what I did, how the players I put out right after we scored, so we could go out and try to maintain that momentum and go after it and try to add to that lead.
Raymond Bryce in the third period, though, regained the lead for the Huskies. I had originally thought it was Logan Pianola.
Right onto the stick, though, of Evanow. Evanow turns it over, shot towards the puck. Here's a chance for the Huskies right there, and a score! Oh, it's Logan Pianola with the goal as he... Ray Bryce with the goal. It was... All I could see was number 3. And Bryce with the goal right in top of the crease as he was able to kick it to his forehand and just smashed it between the legs of Salman Kangas.
Nice goal by Ray Bryce, knocking that play down and getting the assist on that goal by Bryce was Logan Ganey.
Yeah, and there was a great job. We got that puck in a turnover at the blue line and attacked quickly. There were a couple of passes made, quick area passes more than anything else, where guys could skate into it, and Ray picked up the last one and was able to bang it home. He had a few of those on Saturday night as well. Mm-hmm. I thought that line on Saturday night, Reitmeyer moved into that line, and Crespi, and I thought they did an excellent job for us in creating scoring chances on Saturday night as well.
Yeah, and Tommy Paratino scored what turned out to be the game-winning goal as they give the Huskies a 2-goal lead here.
Coates now with control.
Sends it over for Rockwell. Rockwell up the ice, and the Huskies will shovel it down in the right left wing corner. Pass to the front of the goal, and a score! Big goal by the Huskies, able to tip it in. And Michigan Tech's Tommy Paratino gives it an insurance goal, 3-1 with 3:47 remaining.
Tommy Paratino's ninth of the season, getting the assist was Trenton Bliss and Tyler Rockwell. And again, we talked so much about Trenton Bliss and how well he played all weekend long.
Yeah, he played great. And that was a goal that was very similar to the previous goal, the Rays goal. It was a quick transition play, quick turnover, threw the puck in. This was more in a neutral zone counter where we alley passed it to the outside, and we were able to get the puck into Paratino, and he does what he does. He's in tight and he finds net. So that was a big goal. You would hope that would have ended it, but it didn't. We had to make things exciting at the end.
Well, yeah, and one more goal by the Ferris State Bulldogs. You talked about this was shortly after Paratino's goal, and Moyes, who is tough to stop, had a nice one.
He never stops. Huskies forced the turnover, gaining with a play off of the boards. And the Ferris State Bulldogs now bring it across to Tackett. Tackett across the line. Drop pass made there. Moyes with a shot, and they score! Moyes with a great one-timer as it went right to his forehand, and we've got a game now with 2:48 left to go in the third. 3-2 Michigan Tech.
And Matt Jerusik played really good after that, too. I mean, he played good all weekend, but really stood his ground because they had the goaltender pulled. I think they had a power play towards the end of the two. Six-on-four advantage, and we were able to keep it out of the net.
Yeah, he did a great job right up till the very end of the game with the penalty there, but he did an excellent job for us. And that goal there, we just missed some D-zone entry coverage coming into the zone, and they were able to find a slot pass. It was, that goal was very similar to Smitty's goal last week, the overtime goal, with the exception that their player was on his one-time side. Smitty wasn't. He had to make a great shot on his strong side, but this one, they found a seam on that. And, you know, we were loose on our coverage. We were soft a bit in our coverage there. We have to get more aggressive. Their lessons learned. I thought the guys made great adjustments on Saturday, limiting those. We limited scoring chances on Saturday. They again play the game that they play, trying to throw everything at the net, and a lot of that. That's how they create the scoring chances, trying to get bang-bang rebounds in on those types of things in that rink. But I thought we did a good job on Saturday, but a lot of it is what we learned on Friday.
So the final score, Michigan Tech 3, Ferris State University 2. Shots in that game, 33-18 in favor of Ferris State. They got a bunch of those in the first period, 14 of them. But again, Coach, the special teams battle, we win it by one goal. We win the game by one goal. 1-for-4 on the power play. They were 0-for-4 on the man advantage. Huge.
Yeah, we did a good job. I thought we did good. Penalty kill was good all weekend. Shot a goose egg all weekend. Power play, I thought. A little bit too fancy at times with certain individuals trying to make that perfect play. And again, we talked about it. This rink closes up so quick. It's better to try to get the puck into areas where you have a shot, like Ford shot on net. Colin Sawyer had not missed, but he hit a goalpost just prior to Ford scoring on that, on a shot from the point. Those, and then finding guys darting into areas and beating their coverage. They play a tight man for man, and so you need to find those loose pucks, like we did on the last two goals that you just called, where we just kind of snuck in behind them on man for man, picked up loose pucks, and were able, you know, one was Bryce, one was Paratino, putting those in the net. When you're in that tight coverage, you need to try to lose that coverage. If you stay with it, you know, and you let them tie you up, then you're eliminated from the play. And those are the areas that I thought, again, that we learned a lot in the game, fighting for ice and fighting for our space, and I thought the guys did a really good job in doing that, and we got better. I was really proud. I've gotten in there with some great teams over in various places over the years and not come out with points, and gone in other times and have totally dominated and have not come out with points. So it's, you know, if you look back first year here, we took a couple of late goals. I think we won 1-0 and 2-1 there. I remember Malcolm Gould with a little backdoor power play flip from outside the dots, and it's a tough environment. Last year we had to come back twice in the third period and win games there when we were able to sweep them there last year. So we're figuring things out a little bit more. They certainly make you a better team. Last year, coming out of that, we went on a nice little run, if you recall, and went into Christmas with a good run. I would have actually liked to play them in the second half there like we did this time, because I think it sets you up a little bit.
Final saves, Matt Jerusik with 31 on Friday night, and Ronnie Selman-Kangas with 15. Huskies win 3-2. We'll be back. Our special guest, student-athlete Colin Sawyer, is here. He scored a couple of goals on Saturday night. We'll have those in just a moment. It is the Joe Shine Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ.
Right now, I'm holding a perfectly ice-cold Coors Light. You know how I know it's the perfect temperature? Because the mountain on the can is blue. And also, it's really cold. Every Coors Light is cold-filtered, cold-lagered, and cold-packaged. Notice how many times I said cold? 3 times. It's that cold. So make sure the mountain on your can of Coors Light is blue, because that means it's ready to enjoy. 2019 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Check out these great deals all month at Bucko's in Calumet. Red Baron Pizzas, 3 for only $11. All 6 packs of 12-ounce canned beer on sale. All 2 liters, 2 for $3. All Canada Dry, 8 packs. Flavored seltzer waters, 2 for $5. Along with all kinds of energy drink bargains. Stay warm with Keweenaw Alpaca gear in the clothing department. With fishing coming up, they have the new fishing licenses and DNR and ORV licenses, plus some snowmobile needs. All sales do not include tax and deposit at Bucko's in Calumet.
Sprintern here.
And Paul.
Everyone is trying to tell you how you can spend your tax refund.
At Sprint, we're doing things differently. We're saying, keep it.
Exactly, because now you can get the amazing iPhone 11 with the all-new dual camera system with ultra-wide for $0 a month when you trade in your iPhone 6S or newer.
In any condition.
Seriously, in any condition.
That's right. Keep your tax refund and get the amazing iPhone 11. And because Sprint likes doing things differently, they're offering a 100% total satisfaction guarantee. Well, I think their network and savings are great. You don't just have to take my word for it. Try it out and see for yourself.
What a way to take it to 11.
Visit your local Sprint store, Sprint.com, or call 800-SPRINT-1 today. iPhone 11, 64GB, $0 a month after $29.17 a month. Credit apply within 2 bills. Requires unlocked trade-in, 18-month lease, new line of service, and approved credit. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Excludes tax, $30 activation fee, and restrictions apply. Guarantee applies to new lines of service within 30 days.
And Tech will pick up a loose puck. Logan Piedola able to get the clear. Good follow-up there by Swoyer. And Swoyer will drive it across the net. Hands it off. Here is a shot from Bliss. Loose puck scores! Right at the side of the net! Bliss taking the shot on the way in. And it was Colin Swoyer buried it on the rebound. 1-0 Michigan Tech. Another senior. Smith will win it back cleanly. Huskies will flip it up to center ice. All the way down in the net. Yes! Colin Swoyer, his second goal of the game in the empty net. That should do it. How about that? The Huskies lead 2-0.
Colin Swoyer with both goals for Michigan Tech on Saturday night in that win over Ferris State University. And Colin Swoyer is in our studio this morning as our special guest student athlete. He was the superior player of the game, and that was a tough pick, I think, for Dave on a superior play of the game. You had Matt Jerusik with a shutout and 2 goals for Colin Swoyer, the only 2 goals of the game, but we went with Colin Swoyer. Matt got it the night before, and I tell you, a couple of nice goals there, Colin, but I just want to ask you, I guess, on that last goal, what the setup was there, because you looked like right off the get-go you were going to go ahead and take a shot at that empty net.
Yeah, so I noticed their goalie was definitely pulled. And the faceoff was there, and I remember looking at Smitty, and I was like, Smitty, if you win this back to me, I'm shooting it. And he was like, yeah, go for it. And I saw him, he won it cleanly, and luckily it went in.
Did the shot at all go off of that forward stick that sent it launching in the air at all?
No, it actually, okay. I think it went in between both those forwards, because I shot it over, I don't remember the guy, but it was, I think, Norris or something. Mm-hmm. And it went in between him and another player, and it took a couple bounces and then trickled in.
It was a great goal, and that sealed it for Michigan Tech on the 2-0 win. And Colin, you're from the Chicago area, grew up there and had played hockey. And just talk a little bit about, you know, growing up in suburban Chicago and kind of how you got to Michigan Tech.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously growing up, I was a Hawks fan. I mean, everyone around was a Hawks fan. It was mm-hmm. great to be a Hawks fan because they won, 3 cups in 10 years. So, I mean, just kind of all my buddies played hockey. My dad played, so I grew up playing. And then obviously went to juniors and then committed here during my senior year of high school.
So what was the recruiting process like for you? Who was your main contact coming in?
Joe, actually. I remember he, what was it, in Detroit, I think, after
probably.
A game.
He played for a player, individual I coached, Al Dorch, yep. for the Fury, in Chicago Fury. And I liked him, talked to Al about him. Al liked him. I remember the first time, or the first weekend, remember that? I said, Al, you tell me this kid's got a great shot, and he loves to shoot. And I said, he never took one shot. And so Al says, okay, normally he does it. Well, the next game he took about 10 and scored a couple goals, and he was bombing everything. I said, okay, I see it.
Yeah, I remember it was like November my senior year, I believe, first time we like connected, and then I talked to Mel a couple times, then I came on my visit in January, I believe, and then committed shortly after that.
Very good. Talk about your time in the USHL and a little bit and the differences. I like to hear what each player thinks is the biggest step up from the USHL to the Division I ranks.
Yeah, so I started off in Chicago, actually with Dallas, and then after preseason, it's kind of ironic, Daly traded me to Sioux Falls,
yeah.
Which at the time I was kind of bummed out, but turned out to be probably the best thing that's ever happened to me. I was placed with an unbelievable billet family, and I really was able to develop and grow and mature really quickly. So that was probably the best thing that's happened. And then, obviously, I think the whole schooling part's pretty it's different. Going from juniors, your Sundays are your day off. Here, it's your Sundays are homework days, and it's just a constant. You're just going. But I actually kind of like that. It kind of lets things flow easier, and you're kind of just always going.
So when you went from Chicago to Sioux Falls, and you talk about your game developing and maturing, what part were there parts of your game that you didn't even realize you needed to work on until like maybe that trade was made and you got different coaching? How did that all work?
Well, I think definitely my defensive game needed to improve when I went up to juniors, because when I was playing AAA, it was kind of just play. Like, there wasn't any true like defensive coaching. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, every level you get, the players just get better and better. So you're constantly trying to improve defensively. To be a D-man in any league, you got to be good. You got to be solid defensively. So that's something I definitely try to improve, and I'm still trying to improve from here on out.
Has his defensive play improved a lot, Coach, in the last couple of years?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's got such great feet. And when the puck's on his stick, he's a kid like Mark Ock. We want the puck on his stick. He makes things happen, as you saw in Saturday night's game. And I think a lot with Colin is just how he feels in any particular game. If he's really confident, then he can control a hockey game, and that's what he's trying to do as a player. He studies it relentlessly. He's extremely committed to all aspects, nutrition. He reminds me of a kid, Charlie Cook, that I recruited from Port Huron, Michigan. He played for a guy that coached me, actually, and Charlie ended up being an All-American at Cornell. But just absolutely committed to his craft. Same type of D. Sees the ice well. Extremely skilled. Heavy shot. Good strength in his hands. But his commitment level, sometimes probably too hard on himself, I'd say, that he wants to be perfect, and it's not always going to be perfect. And you have to realize, and I think at some times that, and I think he just alluded to that, your defense needs to always be there. The offense, when you're feeling it, is sometimes like I was saying consistently to on the bench the other night to the guys, fellas, it's not that type of game. Our offense isn't there. These beautiful little plays aren't there. The rink closes up too quick. Get something ugly. And as you saw the goal on Saturday night, I thought Pietla got it.
I was just going to bring that up. Yeah. You mentioned
until the game.
And then when we told you it was Colin, you said, what is he doing up there?
Exactly. But he was on the rush. He was up there, and he filled in on the weak side there on Blisher's shot, and it was just a grunt goal. It was a grind goal that was a huge goal for us. So he's continuing. He's got the ability to be an All-American type player for sure. He's certainly got the ability to be a good pro player. He's committed to it. He's getting bigger, stronger. He skates extremely well. He can skate his way out of danger. The biggest thing that we'd like Colin to do is realize how good he actually is and learn how to take control of a game. He has the ability. I remember a couple years ago when Union won at Gothisphere, is that his name?
Yeah.
I've never seen a defenseman dominate a game the way he did the NCAA title game when Union won it a few years ago. Ended up playing. He's about Colin's size. Colin has that ability to be a difference maker for us, and that's what we're really trying to help him to do, to be a difference maker for our program and for his future going forward.
Colin, do you remember your first goal as a Husky?
I do, in Huntsville, yeah. Smitty, he made a drop pass to me and shot it, and it went low block, I think. I don't remember where exactly, but
I can't remember either.
And delivered back to the point. Sawyer will not be able to hold this one in. Good back check by Gould. He'll send it over to the open defenseman. That is Ford. Ford now up for Smith across the line. Smith puts on the brakes. Holds on. Drops it there for Sawyer. He'll shoot. Scores! Sawyer with the goal for Michigan Tech. His first career goal. And the Huskies lead it 2-0 with 14:40 left in the second period.
Well, you described that pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Pretty good memory.
Yeah.
You remember you remember the date?
No, not that.
November 2nd, 2018, last season. So, And a couple of goals this year. What do you have now? Four, right? Four with the two on Saturday?
Yep.
Two going into that weekend and scored two on Saturday night. And so who was your favorite player? I know you're a Hawks fan. Do you have one player that you kind of looked up to in the NHL while you were growing up?
Yeah, actually growing up, my favorite player was Paul Kariya.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, it was because, I mean, I don't know, when I was younger, I was fascinated by mountains in Colorado, and he was the captain of Colorado. So he was, I actually got to meet him when he was playing in St. Louis. And, yeah, he was a great guy. He was definitely my idol growing up.
And you said you do have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have a younger sister. She's a freshman at St. Olaf. And then a younger brother who's in eighth grade. He plays his sports golf.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. You golf a lot, too, I would imagine.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
All right, so what are you studying?
Finance.
Yes, and... How you talked about the school work load and that obviously impacting your free time. Have you been able to handle it pretty well?
Yeah, I feel like I've done a pretty good job about it. I mean, it's definitely time management is key. You gotta, every chance you get, you gotta just get stuff done. And then obviously, like there is parts of the day where you're like, okay, I could either play video games or do this, but it's like, well, I got homework to do. If I do that, I'll be able to relax later. So you gotta just take advantage of that.
As you look at the rest of the season, we got two games left. Looking back, Colin, what has been the most, I guess, difficult thing or maybe disappointing thing about the way this team has kind of been up and down this season? And do you think that it's kind of all coming together now towards the end?
I sure hope so. I mean, we started off a little average, and then we kind of peaked during the GLI and kind of took a little dip, which was unfortunate. But I feel like right now we're, after this weekend and the way we played last Saturday, hopefully we're starting to peak again.
You played two GLIs, winning this past year. We're in the championship, came up in the runner-up the year before. It probably didn't take you long now to realize how important that weekend is for the Michigan Tech program.
Yeah, it's definitely a really special moment. I mean, last year, being a freshman, you're just kind of take it in and not really understand like how important it is. But then this year, we were kind of on a mission to win, and when we did, it was definitely really special for the fans and for us.
And the game seems to have slowed down for you quite a bit. Is that the case?
Well, I mean, I think it just comes with every game you play, you get more confidence. It's just in college, it's just about confidence. And every game I've played, I feel like I've kind of just gotten better and better, and then... Yeah, I mean, I feel good right now.
Who's your biggest teacher on the team? Do you have somebody that you look up to the most on the roster right now?
I would probably say Donahue. Like, he and I are constantly talking, constantly working on different things. Like, we're pretty similar style players, so we constantly are always, like, giving each other feedback. So he's definitely one I look up to.
Yeah. And they are very similar, aren't they, Coach?
They are. And they're paired off, lefty-righty. And, yeah, they are. They complement each other well.
One other question, who's the biggest joker on the team as far as you're concerned? Other than Smitty.
Yeah, I was going to say
Other than Smitty, because everybody says that. Is there anybody else that's... I kind of put you on the spot there. But
yeah, joker, I would say Bliss maybe.
Okay.
He's a pretty big goofball.
And how well he played this weekend?
Yeah, he's playing great. He's playing great.
Yeah. Well, Colin, we'll let you go. I know you got a busy day here today, and we appreciate you getting up early to come on in here. Congratulations on the two big goals on Saturday night and all of your success, and enjoy the week off. So what will you do on the week off? I know there's still practice and stuff going on, but do you catch up on homework? What do you do?
Yeah, catch up on homework and just try to get ahead for, like, the upcoming weeks.
Yeah, and how much do you study the other team? Do you kind of let the coaching staff just bring that stuff to you, or are you one of those guys that kind of knows everybody on the other team and all that stuff?
I kind of know. I mean, I'm kind of a nerd, so I kind of look up other players and, like, kind of how they're playing or what, like, how they're doing. But mainly we get a lot of video from our coaching staff, which is pretty helpful for us.
Yeah, Colin, thanks. Congratulations again. Thanks for being in with us today, and good luck in 2 weeks.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Colin Swoyer, where's number 24 for the Michigan Tech Huskies, had two goals on Saturday night, and for the big win for Michigan Tech. We'll be back with more of the Joe Schoenauer after these.
Whether our Huskies are on the turf, the ice, or the hardwood, show your Michigan Tech home team pride by sporting Husky apparel from University Images, the campus store, or online at bookstore.mtu.edu. If souvenirs are your game, we've got you covered there, too. We're sure you'll find exactly what you're looking for when you visit us in person or online. Check our campus store and University Images social media feeds for our latest store news, promotions, and operating hours. Your support goes directly back to the local and campus communities. And always, we thank you for your patronage.
How to show up with Coca-Cola Energy. Hey, we've all been there. You're tired and you're thinking of canceling on your friends. But this decision has severe consequences. Every time you cancel on a friend, a unicorn loses its horn and becomes a regular horse. No magic, no horn, just horse.
Horse.
Do you really want that on your conscience?
No!
Instead, grab an ice-cold can of Coca-Cola Energy with delicious Coke taste and reinvigorating energy. Keep the unicorns alive! Show up every day with Coca-Cola Energy. Energy you want, taste you love.
Having fun and enjoying the things that you love doing most can even be tough when you're tired. Introducing new Coca-Cola Energy. It has delicious Coke taste and energy to help you enjoy all of life's most fun moments. And do it with a little more bounce in your step. Pick up an ice cold can today or grab another one to share with a friend and go have some fun. Show up with new Coca-Cola Energy. The energy you want, the taste you love.
This is Bob Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. If something were to happen to you today, would your family be left with a financial burden to cover your debts and final expenses? Would they be able to maintain their same lifestyle without you? No matter your age and situation, there is an auto owner's life insurance policy to meet your unique needs, and an auto owner's life policy is likely more affordable than you think. Stop in at the Turvo Agency in Hancock and see how a life insurance policy from auto owners can provide the protection your family needs and deserves. Think life.
Welcome back here to the Joe Schaan Hour. Thanks again to Colin Swoyer for joining us today. It's fun learning some of the, more of the background. You know, we see the bios and we talk to the kids every week and stuff. We don't get a chance to sometimes just kind of sit down and pick their brain. It's always fun.
Great kids. And we were just speaking. No one studies. You asked him if he does video and things. No one studies harder than he does. I really wish all the players, we talk to them all the time. All your shifts are available. Everything's available. The opponent's tendencies are all available. Prior and more so than we give them, we try to condense everything for them on their prep so we don't overload their minds with information so we don't paralyze them. But there's so much, you know, the power play units can look at the opposition's forecheck, how they cover rotations, what they should be looking for first, suggestions to make on what might make their power play better. Those are the guys that you're really looking for, those guys that just study and want success in that, and with that much intensity.
Let's get to a couple of questions here for you, Coach. Prior to a series, do you ever listen to opposing coaches' radio shows or interviews to get an idea on how the opponent is doing in terms of expectations and to get an insight on the team as a whole?
But I'm sent things that from people. I have people who do that, but no, I don't tune into that. To be honest with you, I just like calling, almost every part of our day is structured, you know what I mean? Like every part on Monday from this time to this time, you know, starting at 6:30, here's what you're doing, here's what I'm doing, all the way through the day to the radio show. Tuesday's the same, Wednesday's the same. So not a whole lot. There's people that do listen to it. I know when I've been with other programs that there's coaches or people that religiously listen to them and try to use them as fuel to, hey, he said that we're not this, we're not that, we're, you know, I'm not a hype guy. I'm not a gimmick guy. We prepare our team to go and we just want a very business-like, you know, job type approach to what we do.
Next question for Coach. Coach, does Raymond Bryce have another year of hockey eligibility? And the reason why this listener is asking is because he did only play that one shift in the 16-17 season.
Yeah, that shift was in the second half of the year. You can't have played in the second half of the year when you're trying for a medical red shirt, which is it was in the first game of the second half. But he did play in the second half of that year.
Next question for Coach, and you kind of touched on this already, Coach, but with growth and confidence, will players stop making the pretty play and start shooting more, particularly on odd man rushes?
That's a good question. You know, I say that the naturals do the simple. You know, I'm watching. I was telling our guys this on Saturday afternoon in our pregame. There's so many similarities when I watch us and I watch the Red Wings.
in different things, in their style of play and their composure with the lead and all into all those types of things. And then you go and yesterday I'm watching Boston. I mean, we kind of play a lot like Boston. I like to watch and see what adjustments they're making. That I'd rather do that than listen to another coach's radio show. But so I'm watching that game yesterday and just such composure, such poise, such, you know, interchanging with calmness. There's so much to their game. So, yeah, I guess it's my best answer to that. Did I answer it?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Here's more of a statement, Coach, than a question, but it says a couple of weeks ago, this listener had a group of young boys playing rental hockey on Saturday morning. Robbie Badoon was finishing the morning skate before the boys went on the ice. Robbie stayed out on the ice for a good 10 minutes and let the boys shoot puck after puck on him. The boys had a ball, and we'll remember that for a long time. Shows the character of Robbie, which we probably already know being around him so much.
Yeah, incredible young man. It's going to be interesting with Robbie because he's going to graduate this year. So with the year of eligibility left, so you know it'll be interesting to see if he wants to, you know, stay here and do the program, our master's program, or if he looks to go someplace where if someone's willing to guarantee him a starting position. So, incredible young man, incredible family, and that doesn't surprise me at all. He's a wonderful kid that is always thinking of others. We have a lot of players like that, but none more so than Robbie and Ray Bryce. Tyler Rockwell's like that as well, that really go out of their, I mean, they certainly think at least as much, mostly more about others than they think about themselves.
Next question for Coach. Coach, what is causing the slow first period starts? We come to life about halfway through the game, but early on looks scary, which really was only the last couple of games because we had great starts.
We've had great starts. Yeah. Well, we haven't had, and really the main reason I made a goalie change a couple of weeks ago in the game, Winter Carnival game against Lake State, is because we've been out playing teams so much. We've been giving up so little. We don't score a lot, and we've been giving up what I think have been not great goals early. You know, we made that message clear, and I thought this weekend, Maddie responded extremely well and kept us in there with some slow starts. Now, we let something in early in either one of those games, it's a different game. It could be a different game. He had to make some saves early. I thought Robbie did the same thing a week ago against Lake State on Saturday night. We need that goaltending to allow us to try to get on board first. We're just a better team playing with the lead. Now we have come back and won several games in the third period this year. It's when you're a team that doesn't score a ton, it's not the way that you want to play. You want to play with the lead and learn to protect that lead.
Coach, next question is, compare and contrast the players of today versus the players of 30 years ago. What are the big differences? And if you were a player, would you want to play in today's game or the game of 30 years ago?
Well, I'd struggle in today's game as most of us would at our age because everything that we did back in our day was for the group. Everything you did was for the family and for the group. And you know, you always were putting your others, like we talked about with so many, like Robbie Badoon and those guys. Nowadays, the hard part is, I was actually just talking to Bobby Daniels this week, and I won't share our conversation, but it was a great talk. But nowadays, everybody expects to play. There's very little. They want to hold the authority to accountability is probably the best way to do it. They want to throw, like, Coach, why aren't I playing? Coach, why aren't I playing? Well, you're this, you're that, you're, you know, we need this more out of you. You're a great person, you're great, you know, but we need this more. You have to find a way to make them, feel great. And they don't care about the other person in that regards when they're holding the coach to an accountability standard. I do this. You do that. But everybody does that. All the other guys do that too. So why do we play you over this person or that person? Well, I never thought about that. You know, that really doesn't matter. The nowadays their status within the group, I honestly feel is more important. How they're perceived, that's the best way to put it. Perception is more important now than reality because perception is probably what they've come up with,
these kids have grown up with ESPN highlights, you know, seeing the people hold their, you know, their name out and things like that. And everything is about the individual now, and more so the perception than the reality of what's actually going on. Perception is their reality, and that's probably the main difference, where before it didn't. It seems like back when I played, it really mattered what you did. Like if you gave a sucker pass to a teammate and he got his bell rung and got lit up, your whole team was mad, and that guy would come back to the bench. You ever do that again? Or he might even take it out on that guy in practice the following week. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and another guy might do it because another guy got a sucker pass and they know that, you know, somebody else's turn is coming. Everything's changed. Perception now, and people say it, perception is reality. This deal about, what do they call it? Networking. Getting a phone call. Nothing drives me more crazy than not hearing from anybody for 4 months and then all of a sudden getting a phone call, and you know it's a superficial call, and all they're doing is networking, keeping their name out there, keeping those contacts alive, instead of honestly, hey, Joe, watched your team play, love what you're doing here, is there anything, you know, you need, blah, blah, blah. It's this networking. What does it, there's always something for me in the end of it. That's the biggest difference. And it's not the fault of the kids. It's how society's driven nowadays. Now, I'll probably get heat for that. And you know what? That's just life in the fast lane. But when we grew up, there was accountability. There was accountability. You were grounded if you didn't do something. You were this, you were that. Then it went to the no spankings, which is good, good. No spankings is a good one. The accountability, I mean, people suing their parents for, you know, back in the day it was, I'm going to call grandma. Good, good. You want me to dial the phone for you? Like, you know, they're going to tattle to grandma on you. If, go ahead, I'll make the phone call for you. That's wonderful, because just so you know, if someone looked just like you, honey, back 20 years ago that looks a lot like me was saying the same thing to my mom. I'm calling grandma. Good luck. You think grandma's going to help you? She was harder on me than she was on you. So that's the biggest difference. Perception is more important, in my opinion, nowadays. That internet tweet, that, you know, that quick text message that makes you feel good. The telling somebody that, listen, man, you're screwing up the opportunity you have. You know, I'm saying this because I love you, you know, whether you like it or not. But that accountability, holding each other accountable, because that's what really means most, is what's missing today.
And obviously the training, though, is so much different 30 years ago compared to today. Is it not?
Well, they train way more today.
That's what I mean.
I mean, they're single sports dominated today. You know, where when we grew up, you know, I played football, I played baseball, I played a little bit of basketball. I was obviously not a very good basketball player because I was devoted to hockey. We did a lot of multi-sport. I still look for that because I think you have to get away from the game and take a breather and relax and get yourself right. I think cross-training is a big thing. Tyler does a great job. Our third periods have been fantastic this year. Every indicator from that is good. So we're in that regards with our character, our commitment is heading in the right direction. But the biggest things that we talk about all the time are our character, are that inner, you know, and that caring for the person next to you. That's the biggest lesson we're trying to teach our guys, because it'll help them mostly in life. You know, you always have to put things in their perspective. Like a couple weeks ago, I was talking to them. Hey, fellas, put yourself where I'm at. Let's say you own a company. And you got some, I think we talked about this last week. You got somebody who's not, that you're paying. You want to take a Saturday off, so you have somebody else in there driving the train for you, a supervisor or whatever, and they don't do the job, and everything, and things fall apart when you're there. And you look at that person saying, you represent me when I'm not there. I wanted to just take a Saturday off. I trusted you to do this. I pay you to do this. And you didn't do that. And that person saying to you, well, you know, it's kind of hard. I work with these people all the time. I don't want them to get mad at me. Well, you know, yeah, but okay, then I can't put you in that position anymore. I need somebody else.
Yeah. All right. We'll have a couple more questions when we come back after the break. We'll also take a look at the standings of the WCHA and talk to Coach about what goes on this week off for the coaching staff and for the team. The coaching staff is never off, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. It's the Joe Schonauer continuing right after these.
It takes hard work to reach goals. It's a truth that applies to more than sports. It goes for your financial goals as well. You work hard for your money. You deserve an investment strategy that lines up with your game plan. And your local Edward Jones Financial Advisor can help. If your investments aren't putting forth the effort, call me, John Nelson, your local Edward Jones Financial Advisor, at 482-8680 or stop by for a financial review. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
It's almost Busch O'Clock. A time for relaxing and unwinding with a crisp, cold Busch beer. It's the most refreshing time of the day. Wait for it. 3, 2, 1.
Busch.
Crisp, cold Busch. Enjoy it responsibly. Busch beer. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Don't you love that feeling when you've just nailed your look? When someone you barely even know comes up to you and says, "Oh, I love that outfit. Where did you get it?" That's how it feels to use Stitch Fix. They're a personal styling service. Tell them what you love, and they send great clothes for you to try on at home. Stitch Fix is simple. Sign up in just a few minutes. Tell them about the brands you love and the looks that make you feel great. Stitch Fix is convenient. Get everything delivered right to you, so you can try on new styles in the comfort of your own home. Stitch Fix is on your terms and priced to fit your budget. There's no subscription required, ever. Keep what you want and send back anything you don't. So, isn't it time you started nailing your look? Get started today at StitchFix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for women, men, and kids. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
Welcome back to the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. The Huskies still have an outside chance of home playoffs. It's not going to be easy, and they're going to need a lot of help, but all you can do is take care of what you can take care of, and that would be a couple of games against Northern Michigan in 2 weeks in that home-and-home series to finish off the regular season. But the Wildcats surprising me this weekend, Coach, or I should say Bemidji, surprising me on able to beat the Wildcats so handily on Friday and Saturday night, 5-0 and 5-1 down at Berry Event Center.
Tremendous team. Bemidji, we saw that when we were up there. Mm-hmm. They're tremendously organized, and penalty kill is always good. They're over 90%. I believe they're 91%, way up in the country, if not leading the country. They have their roles are filled well. They play with energy and structure. I you can see it when we're there, and we played them tough. It was good. Didn't we go to overtime with them?
We lost in the 3-on-3.
Yeah, so it was they're a good team. You could see that happening there, and I could see the same thing happening up in Alaska that happened with the multiple, the two ties and splitting up points and things like that. So it all went well it went as well as it could have possibly for us this weekend. And now we still need a tremendous amount of help because we're dealing with three teams. Alaska's ahead of us. They're playing Anchorage twice. They have the same games in hand. This weekend is the weekend that we can do some scoreboard watching while we're banging out recruiting and doing things like that. But we'll do some scoreboard watching, and that'll impact how we do things going forward. Good chance we could be going to Northern in the first round. We could be going to Alaska in the first round. There's a chance we could be playing at home in the first round, a brief chance of playing Northern or Alaska, or Bowling Green has games in hand and a relatively, if anything is easy in our league, they have probably the best road with four games. I believe they play Ferris twice next weekend
in Huntsville,
at home, and then they go to Huntsville, or maybe I believe that's how it goes. Mm-hmm. Bowling Green's home to Ferris, so they have probably the road that they would like best to be able to pick up the points that they need. But everybody needs points. And so they always, we were in this position a couple of years ago and ended up, we needed some help from Bemidji against Mankato. We got it, and it helped us win a league championship. So things happen.
Yeah, so every other team besides Michigan Tech and Alaska will be playing this weekend. We are the only two teams that have played 26 games, or it's a 28-game schedule. So Alaska and Michigan Tech will be off this weekend. Everybody else will be playing. Minnesota State right now in the lead, obviously with 62 points, but Bemidji State is not going anywhere. I mean, they just keep racking up points. 62 for Minnesota State, 57 for Bemidji State right now.
Yeah, and they're third. I think they're 13th in the country right now in the pairwise. So they're in good shape, and that's great. I would nothing more than to see Bemidji and Mankato, get buys into the tournament and us win our way into the tournament. We have three teams from our league. Just like a couple years ago, we got in, we won our way in, and it added a team into the national tournament, and nothing would make me happier than to have three of our teams in the national tournament.
Northern Michigan with 44 points. They have four games left, including the two against Michigan Tech at the end in 2 weeks. Alaska with 43 points in fourth. That there are your top four right now, which would have home ice if the playoffs started today. Michigan Tech is in fifth, 2 points behind Alaska. And remember, Alaska and Bowling Green, two teams that we're dealing with this, you know, as far as behind us and right ahead of us, both have the tiebreaker.
They have the tiebreaker.
So we have to actually beat them in points.
Yeah, so we have to beat them in points. So that's a big deal. If I were to pick the team that I would think would think that Bowling Green has the best chance, if you were to do a Vegas odds of taking that fourth place spot, and then it depends on what Alaska does in the Governor's Cup there against Anchorage, and then what we do against for where we play. But if it were to work that way, and we were to finish in sixth and get bumped and everything shift down a bit, we'd be playing at Northern in the first round of the playoffs, and it'd be a lot of fun for people to watch.
Absolutely. And then the teams trying to get in or stay into the playoffs, we talk about Ferris State, and you know, when I talk to Bob Daniels on a Friday, he said time's running out for us. So they're 3 points behind Anchorage right now for that final spot in the top eight for the postseason.
Yeah, and that's the good thing. They need wins. Mm-hmm. So they're going to give I know they'd like to be at home. I believe they're at Bowling Green. But they need wins. So it's a big deal.
So that's taking a look at the standings. The Huskies have the week off. And we'll get set for Northern Michigan in 2 weeks. So, Coach, we'll get to a couple of the questions here in just a moment. But what does the coaching staff and the team do then on this final week off as you prepare? Because it is kind of a weird week to have off right before the last week of the season.
Yeah, we'll obviously do all of our prep work. We'll have some discussions on recruiting. We've been banging that out pretty hard. We'll have some good practices that will address what we need to do. We're certainly not taking a week off, although we are going to take today off. Nothing today. I'd just as soon have the guys come in for treatments and do nothing else and give themselves a little refresher, and then we'll get at it tomorrow. We'll get back at it and start addressing the things we need and doing all our prep work to give us the best run possible. I think guys are receptive. We have guys that are really turning the corner. I want to mention this too, because I talked to the guys about this. We talked a little bit on the radio on Saturday. We really needed our big guys, and by big guys I mean our physically big players, to get involved in that game at Ferris on Saturday night, and they did. I thought Bretzman rebounded. I think he had like seven shots or something like that in the game. I don't know what the final was. I thought Hallinan played big and strong. Smitty was so much better Saturday than Friday. I think he was involved in four chances for, none against, I believe, in the game. Did a great job with this. Blister, as you mentioned, was very good in the game. Big Dadima did a good job for us in the game. So our size and strength guys gave some room for some of our skill guys to do what they do. You know, you always get the same deal out of Misiak. You always get the same thing out of Ray Bryce. So we had the roles, the guys buy into what they needed to do, and so many great things. It's been such a pleasure, I have to say, this coaching this group this year. We talk about, you know, highs and lows, whatever. You know, we went through, I think that the travel to the GLI and then to Arizona, the quick turnaround played a factor in that. No excuses, but played a factor in wearing everybody down, and then we get out, come right back and play Bowling Green with a nine guys out with sick, and then for 2.5 weeks we got guys in and out. So I think that took its toll on us a little bit. We're healthy now. We're back rejuvenated, and I think we're playing good hockey.
Another statement from a listener here, Coach, says that this listener says, I am of the old school class who firmly believe a game is enjoyed better listening on the radio. And this person said, thank you, Coach Sean, for being a great leader to these millennials. Someday when they have jobs and kids, they will say, Coach was on to something. Talking about, you know, how you have to deal with some of that. So,
well, I appreciate that. It's, you know, we're in this. If you're not in this, if all you care, if all any of us as coaches or administrators or whatever, I mean, the work that our athletic department does, over, above, and beyond with how they've approached and actually put money and things into the welfare of the students. If you're in this just for coming out of a game and your life depends on every win and loss, I mean, it's important. I'm judged on that. I hold myself accountable to that. But we first need to make good good people, help make good people with their parenting, with everything else. And with that, you have a chance of results. But when you don't have, when the individual takes over in a team sport, they'd be so much better off golfing or bowling or something that it's all on them. Don't hide behind a team sport for individual gain. We want to teach them that it matters more what you do for others. And I've said this before. The best telltale is any species, any animal, any person, people in the military, they'll lay down their life for others. Where if it's just them, they'll run. They'll run and they'll, if it's just them, they'll hide, they'll do whatever. But if others are dependent, their offspring, their mates, they will lay down their life. They'll do more for other people if it matters to them. And the people in those positions depend on that. They want you to be willing to risk for them like you're willing to risk in return. That's what we're trying to teach, to lay it out there for other people. We're in a team sport. That's the lesson we want to learn.
Next question, Coach. Do we have commits that don't show up anywhere for security reasons?
I'm not going to talk about security reasons.
That's what it says.
Yeah, I guess so. I know what they're getting after, but I'm not going to discuss recruiting other than we're working hard. We know our needs. We still have needs, so we're banging it.
I think this next one would be possibly for a different department, but it says some schools such as Wisconsin and North Dakota have a weekly video posted that goes into depth covering recaps and preparations for a series while also showing a lot of behind-the-scenes footage, which is an interesting perspective from a fan standpoint. Could Tech Hockey and its recruiting benefit from something like this by showing more of what the program has to offer? I personally think Michigan Tech fans would love it. Well, I think we kind of have that.
Cal does a great job with that. Yeah, he does our pre-stuff. He does pre-video. He talks to players going into a series.
It's called In the Crease.
Maybe you should check that out. One thing I want to do, and we've been talking with Cal about this, is we want to have something, a production that really showcases what we have here so that we can send it to recruits. We had that and it's kind of aged out now, but I want to put something together, a production that a kind of a walkthrough of everything the community has to offer, the university has to offer, highlighting some. I mean, no one has a band and a student section and a local support there's rivals, but there's no one better. There's no one better than what we have here in the whole package of our local base, our alumni base, our pep band that does such, and not just for our sports, for all sports, and the Misfits. I mean, they're at my house on Saturday night sending pictures and tweets and, with Laura and enjoying the game and having dinner and, a couple of the students there cooked an Indian, from India, an Indian meal for everybody. And I mean, I hope I can say that, I don't think I'm doing anything, saying anything wrong by that. It's tremendous. Yeah. It's, and that support, that's what I love about here. That's what it's great about here. It's a throwback community that still has an accountability structure. And, these people are coming here to be the best. They're signing up here to be the best. It's the tuitions and everything that you pay to come here. They're coming here to be the best. So they're taking full advantage of what they have to offer here, of the community. And you know what? I like the snow. I like everything. Keep the riffraff where the riffraff belongs and let the people come here who want to make a difference in the world.
Well, you and I, we only had a couple minutes, but you and I had a chance to watch Coach Kevin Luke and Sam Hoyt at the games at Ferris State on Thursday, and we get a chance to watch the other bands for hockey and stuff like that, which never compares to Michigan Tech, but it doesn't compare even with basketball too. I mean, our basketball atmosphere, our volleyball atmosphere, yeah, our football atmosphere is second to none. We go to these other places, it's just not the same.
And the crowd support for the basketball
game.
That's
what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, the crowd support and everything, it was absolutely tremendous. I got to meet a lot of people there that they were there for the hockey and the basketball and everything. And by the way, thoroughly enjoyed the men's game. Thoroughly. I mean, the comeback, I know Luker is, like, hey, Joe, do you know we lost? We lost, right? You realize we lost. Yeah, I know you lost, Coach, but you were down by 15 with about 6.5 to go and came back and made your stops and did it. And it came right down to you gave yourself a chance. You tied the game with a minute left. I know you lost, and you're a coach just like me, and I'd say the same thing, but
he's got that thing headed in the right direction.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. And congratulations on the two wins this week. And, Coach, now we can just watch some scoreboarding this weekend to kind of see what how everything kind of falls for that big weekend against Northern Michigan.
Yeah, and that'll depend a lot on what we do, obviously, going into the following weekend as well.
Very good. All right, that's the Joe Schaan Hour. Thanks for your questions. And we'll be back next week with another Joe Schaan Hour. So you can send more questions in for next Monday, 10 o'clock, right here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Again, the Huskies off this week. They will be taking on Northern Michigan at Northern Michigan next Friday and finishing off the regular season with Senior Night at the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena a week from this Saturday. Get your tickets now. Call the Central Ticket House, 487-2073.